Shalom Aleichem, our limud in Mishnah Yomi continues in Megillah, chapter 3, Mishnah Beit, for Shabbat Ha'azinu. It's Mishnah 2, Ein Mochin Beit Knesset. We don't sell a synagogue, Ela Al Tanai, only on condition. Shem Yirtzu Yachaziruhu, Divrei Rebbe Meir. If the original sellers want to buy it back, they would be allowed to buy it back. This is according to Rebbe Meir. The idea being to sell a synagogue in perpetuity, you know, it's like the owners are saying, we don't want anything to do with the shul. And that would be a bit disrespectful. Chachamim Omrim, the other sages disagree. They say, Mochin oto mimkar olam. You can sell it as a permanent sale. Chutz me'arba dvarim. But you can't sell the building to be used for these four things. Lemerchatz. Merchatz is a bathhouse. You understand people will be there undressed. Leborsiki, a tannery. They have smelly chemicals, letzvila, for a mikveh, where again people are undressed, lebeit hamayim. And beit hamayim is either a laundry or a restroom. The idea being we don't want a shul, which was used for worship, to be degraded through these activities. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds, mochin oto l'shem chatzer. Technically, you would be allowed to sell a synagogue just as a chatzer. Like, you don't ask the buyer what they want it for, palokeach mash yirtze yase, and then the purchaser could use it for whatever they need to. The Mishnah Gimel continues this theme, va'od amar Bihuda. Bihuda also taught Beit Knesset Shacharav, a shul that was destroyed. Now, not necessarily destroyed, but it doesn't have a minyan anymore. People stopped praying there. It's falling into disuse. There's weeds growing in the parking lot. So even though it's not being used for prayer, ein maspidin betocho, we don't use it as like a theater to make a eulogy, a public eulogy there. And the Bartner points out, if it was, you know, a community leader, a community rabbi, then technically you could use the empty shul for that, but just a regular person, when there's not a need for the public to attend such a funeral, we can't use this abandoned shul as a funeral parlor. Ve'ein mafshilin betocho chavolim. And we don't twist ropes inside an abandoned shul. This is an activity which requires a great deal of space to lay out the strings and the ropes. But it's really any sort of regular, everyday work activity is forbidden in an abandoned shul. But this was used as an example since it requires a lot of space and there's a lot of open space in the abandoned shul. Ein porsin l'techa mitzudo. You don't spread out traps there to get birds or animals. Ein shotchin ogogo peirot. You don't spread your grapes on the roof to become raisins. You don't use it as a shortcut. It's interesting, in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf 28, page 28, some of our sages mention that they merited to live a long life. One of them says because he never used a shul as a shortcut. So they ask, well, what are you adding to this Mishnah? There's other advice there in Megillah, Daf 28, about how to live a long time, including never go to sleep angry at someone. Always forgive and forget before you go to sleep. It's very good for right before Yom Kippur. Anyway, back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda explains why. Shenemar hashimoti et mikdoshechem. I will make desolate your sanctuaries. So this is sort of a mixed blessing or a mixed curse, if you like. Rabbi Yehuda explains the intention of this verse. This is in Vayikra chapter 26. He says, it's kedushaton, they're still holy. Afkashken shumamin, even if they're abandoned. So we saw in Mishnah Bet that Rabbi Yehuda did hold that they could sell, the owners could sell a synagogue just as a chatzer, and that would deconsecrate it. That would make it available to use for regular purposes. But a shul that became destroyed or abandoned or neglected still has a degree of sanctity that you couldn't use it for these everyday activities. Finally, the Mishnah adds, Alu bo asovim. What if grass starts growing in the abandoned synagogue? Lo yitlush. You shouldn't bring the lawnmower and cut it down. Mipnei ogmat nefesh. Because when people see that there's grass in the abandoned synagogue, they'll get upset. They'll get upset and they might try to reconsecrate and rededicate that synagogue to get people praying there again, or at least to pray to Hashem that more synagogues will not fall into ruin. So it's an interesting thing to think about. If the abandoned synagogue looks very nice and well-kept, then people aren't bothered by that, and they're not going to pray for a change or get up and make a change. It's really a cognate. It really reminds us of Hazinu, our Torah reading for today. Yishonto Yeshurun v'yivot. When Jeshurun, meaning the upright people of Israel, became fat, meaning they became prosperous in the land and they weren't concerned about getting their daily bread, then they kicked, they rebelled. The intention here is when people feel comfortable with their life, they don't make the effort to make any changes. So the idea of letting the grass grow in the abandoned synagogue is to be uncomfortable and try to make a change. And this is the idea behind Yom Kippur, when we are fasting and self-afflicting in certain ways. We want to be uncomfortable enough to make a real change for the upcoming year. So Gemar Chasima Tova, Gemar Chatima Tova, Tizkun LeMitzvot, and Shabbat Shalom.